Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you. It's Thursday, the 19th of March. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, hopes for peace recede in South Sudan, and the UN Refugee Agency in neighbouring Ethiopia is relocating displaced persons ahead of the rainy season.
Last year, the real problems of flooding started in August. So we really hope that we'll be able to move everyone out before the rains become really heavy and the river swells to an extent that it might become dangerous.
And the president of Sierra Leone faces criticism over the firing of his vice president.
Some sections of the civil society are saying that the only way you can sack the vice president is you have to impeach the vice president.
Those stories and more on this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
In South Sudan, President Salva Kiir has ruled out a proposed power-sharing deal with the rebels. Speaking at a rally in Juba, Kiir rejected key components of a draft deal between himself and rebel leader Riek Machar. He said he opposed Machar being made vice president and objected to the creation of two armies for a transitional period. Kiir made his remarks as his troops claimed they had killed up to 130 rebels in the latest outbreak of fighting since peace talks collapsed earlier this month. Meanwhile, some observers are questioning the need for the two leaders' participation in any future South Sudanese government. James Shimanyula reports.
Experts on South Sudan held a seminar in the Kenyan capital Nairobi Wednesday, with the recent outbreak of heavy fighting there forming part of their discussions. They also questioned the assumption that President Salva Kiir and his principal rival Riek Machar should be automatically included in any new government. Dalmas Ocheng, a specialist on South Sudan at the Nairobi branch of African Research and Rescue Forum, said sidelining the two leaders was not a solution to restoring permanent peace in South Sudan.
Their constituents will not take that lying down because they have a certain degree of legitimacy. And unless they are convinced about the reasons as to why they need to be sidelined, I think that is postponing the conflict in South Sudan.
But Emmanuel Kisiangani, senior researcher on conflict prevention at the Nairobi branch of the South African-based Institute of Strategic Studies, disagrees. He says Kiir and Machar should not be included in any new government in South Sudan.
Ideally, I think that is the best option. If the two leaders can give way to a neutral person to lead. But this is easier said than done, because practically, if you need to get the president out of office, he will argue that he has a term of office.
David Deng, research director for South Sudan Law Society, noted the suffering caused by the ongoing conflict.
The war has had a terrible impact on the people of South Sudan, leave alone the humanitarian impact, the loss of life. Life is becoming more and more difficult. So I think what's on everyone's mind is how to end this conflict as soon as possible.
Elizabeth Ashamu, South Sudan researcher for the London-based Amnesty International, said the forces of Kiir and Machar had been linked to rights abuses.
We have documented war crimes and crimes against humanity committed by both sides to the conflict.
Joash Okot, Sudanese businessman, painted a grim picture of his country.
As a South Sudanese, I'm not happy on this ongoing conflict in South Sudan. The country is polarized, people are divided. This over 1 year conflict has really created a bad name to this young nation. But we are hopeful that one day the two leaders will make compromises for the sake of peace, for the sake of the vulnerable people on the ground.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula. The vulnerable people on the ground, to which the last speaker referred, include 1.5 million who have been displaced by this conflict. More than 50,000 have fled to Ethiopia, which shares a western border with South Sudan. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, has just started relocating refugees in Ethiopia from Nip-Nip to Pugnido. UNHCR spokesperson Kardine Dathel gave Assumpta Latus more details.
Bugnigo is an existing camp and it already hosts 56,000 refugees, but the camp is full. So that's why we need to establish a new site. That site was opened over the weekend, and that means now that we need to build infrastructure, we need to build roads, we need to build facilities like clinics, schools, mark out the plots of lands where refugees can build their shelters. So that work in the new site has now started. And we hope that other refugees who will not be able to go to Bugnigo will be able to go to the new site as of early April.
Are you saying that the camps that the people are relocated to are not yet built?
No, the ones that are being relocated now, they are still going to the old camp, to the Bugnigo camp, which has its infrastructure and it has everything it needs to accommodate refugees. But it will not be able to accommodate more than 60,000, and we now have a number of 56,000. So the people from Nipnip will go to the Bugnigo camp. The people from Lecher, which are about 58,000, will go to the newly established camp that we're setting up as we speak.
How long will it take to get all the refugees moved to the new camps?
Well, we're going pretty quick. It's difficult to say exactly, but we're planning to have them all moved by May. The way we work is as we move refugees into the camp, we continue expanding the camp. So we prepare one plot of land and then a group of refugees can go there. At the same time that they are establishing themselves and setting up their shelters, we move on to the next lot where the land will be prepared and then the next group will move in. So we hope to be finished by May. Just to give you an idea, last year the real problems of flooding started in August. So we really hope that we'll be able to move everyone out before the rains become really heavy and the river swells to an extent that it might become dangerous.
So the people responsible for the establishment of the shelters, do they get help from you?
Yes, they get the shelter materials. They get usually plastic sheeting and other shelter materials. There's material to build latrines as well. So those who are able to work and are able to set up their own shelters will do so. Others, for example, people with a handicap or people for other reasons who can't do that, they will get help.
UNHCR spokesperson Cardine Dathel.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The president of Sierra Leone, Ernest Karoma, has sacked his vice president, Samuel Samsumana. The reason he gave was that the vice president had abandoned his duties by seeking asylum in a foreign embassy. That was a reference to his request for asylum at the US embassy in Freetown after soldiers surrounded his residence on Saturday. Our correspondent in Freetown, Mutala Kamara, told me about the controversy generated by the vice president's removal.
Some sections of the civil society are saying that it is a misuse of the constitution, you know, to sack the president. Say it's impossible, you know, to sack the vice president. The only way you can sack the vice president is you have to impeach the vice president. You know, but then to sack the vice president in this manner, you know, is unconstitutional. You know, some sections, you know, from the public, some civil society, you know, institutions are challenging this action.
Who is likely to replace him?
Well, it's difficult, you know, to say for now, you know, but what I am sure, according to the press release that was put out, the president said to make an appointment, he will appoint somebody, you know, to replace the vice president as soon as possible. And there are so many names, you know, that have come up, you know, for a likely successor, you know, for president. But it's difficult, you know, for now to pinpoint that individual, you know, that will succeed, you know, the vice president. We have to wait and see. And, you know, the name, you know, from the particular person that the president, you know, will appoint.
Is Samsumana's departure going to have any impact on stability in Sierra Leone?
It's hard to say, you know, for now. I don't think so. It will create any instability, you know, but some section of the public are not happy, you know, with the decision. And I think they will find a way, you know, of making this hard.
And what about the government's ability to fight Ebola? Will that be affected in any way?
It has already affected the fight against Ebola since this whole thing has started. You know, the focus, you know, here right now is the ongoing situation that is going on between the president and the vice president. It is the talk of town, and it has affected, it has hampered, you know, the Ebola fight. And the figures keeps going up, you know, on a daily basis. So it tells you that we are not winning the fight, you know, against Ebola.
Mutala Kamara in Freetown. In Zimbabwe, Parliament has expelled 21 lawmakers from the opposition Movement for Democratic Change after they had formed a splinter group. As DW's correspondent in Harare, Columbus Mafunga, reports, the development is likely to weaken Zimbabwe's opposition still further.
On Tuesday, the Speaker of Zimbabwe's Parliament announced that 21 opposition MPs who broke away from Morgan Tsvangirai's party late last year to form a splinter group had lost their seats. The speaker said this was in line with the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which says that parliamentarians who desert the party that sponsored their election can be dismissed. One of the MPs who was expelled is Tendai Biti, the former deputy head of the Movement for Democratic Change, MDC.
That decision is a heavy blow to democracy and the democratization agenda in Zimbabwe. To think that the vibrant MDC bench that has been victimized will not be voices in parliament, I think it is a great tragedy. I think it is unprecedented anyway.
It blamed the former Prime Minister Tsvangirai's party, now called MDCT, for notifying the Speaker that the 21 MPs had left the MDC, thereby prompting the expulsion. Biti said his party, the United MDC, was planning to challenge the expulsion from Parliament in the High Court. In the meantime, Tsvangirai's MDCT has issued a statement welcoming the expulsion of what they called renegade MPs. Analyst Charles Mangongera said it is the ruling ZANU-PF party of President Robert Mugabe that stands to gain from the decision to expel the 21 MPs.
Certainly, you know, ZANU is obviously going to increase its stranglehold on the legislative chamber. Even if the MDC were to sort of rescind from their earlier resolution that says they're not going to participate in elections. But if you look at some of the seats that they won in 2013, they won those seats with very small margins. And now that they are divided, I think it's going to be very difficult to retain those seats. So I wouldn't be surprised if ZANU-PF is going to gain a significant number of these seats that are now vacant. So I think ZANU is probably the winner. But what is clear is the loser. And the loser in this case, I think, are the citizens of this country.
Mangongera said there will now be fewer dissenting voices in parliament. ZANU-PF won more than two-thirds of the seats in 2013 elections. Former Prime Minister Tsvangirai's MDCT party says it may field candidates in all upcoming by-elections to fill the vacant seats.
Columbus Mavhunga reporting. And now, politics and personal tragedy in this week's episode of The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Nice to have you back for today's episode of Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio drama about the challenges faced by young Africans looking for the right path in life.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
Lately, 18-year-old Mercy has had a lot to take. She's already struggling to be a good student at university and a good mother to her three-year-old daughter, Linda. Then she found out that her best friend, Trudy, had been shot dead on the university campus. The other students immediately protested.
It seems that robbers can easily get into the hostels.
Yeah!
And they have killed our friend.
Yeah!
This cannot happen again.
No!
Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
But Tina has just told Mercy that their friend wasn't killed by robbers. It was because of a report Trudy was working on for University Radio.
It was about the brothel in town. I was her source. We got some pretty explosive material, and I'm going to make sure it gets broadcast.
What? This is too dangerous, Tina.
I owe it to Trudy. And to be honest, I could use your help.
Will Mercy help her friend Tina? We're about to find out in this 22nd episode called Rest in Peace. The man behind the prostitution racket is the politician Mukaraba, the same man who was just convicted of buying a child from Mercy's father, Msoto, in an illegal adoption. Nonetheless, he's still running for parliament in the upcoming elections.
Okay, Mr. Mukaraba, here we go.
All right. MPP Hoye, vote for Mukaraba's Progressive Party. Vote for me, Moses Mukaraba, to move our great country forward. MPP! MPP! Vote for me if you want progress.
Why should we vote for a criminal?
Yes! Yes. Why?
The court found you guilty.
Yes! Yes.
Vote for Mukaraba's Progressive Party. Vote for me for development and growth.
I think we need to get out of here. Mr. Mukaraba, the crowd doesn't seem to be so friendly.
Just ignore them. It's just a few goons hired by the opposition to disrupt my rallies.
Attention. What's that group of students doing here?
Comrade Power!
Mr. Mukaraba, please, let's go.
Wait. Let me talk to them.
Hello? Hello, my good people.
We are not your people. You are a liar.
It's all right. I can see that you're disappointed about the security situation. But I promise that this will be one of the first things I'll improve once I'm a member of parliament.
Down with politicians!
Down with the politicians!
Down with politicians!
Down with the politicians!
Please choose one of you to speak on your behalf.
We are here to tell you and all the other politicians that we are tired of your lies and games. Right? Every 5 years you come to us with your promises and your lies. But 5 years down the line, things are exactly the same, if not worse.
Liar.
You promised us roads. Do you see any proper roads here, comrades?
No.
You promised us security, and instead, one of us gets shot inside our university hostel. Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
We want security.
We want security.
Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
We want security.
We want security.
And please. We can discuss this in a civilized...
Quick, Mr. Mukaraba, get in the car.
What are they throwing at me? What's that smell?
Flying toilets. Quick, get in the car.
Yes, come in.
Hello, Professor Nyambune. Thank you for taking your time to see us.
Yes.
Hello, Mercy.
Hello.
Hello, Tina.
Hello.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
So, how is the university radio going? Have you prepared the program we discussed before?
Tina and I have just finalized the script, sir.
May I see it?
Here it is.
I see you've found more girls who are prepared to tell their stories.
Yes, but they want to stay anonymous, especially because some of them have accused Mukaraba of running the brothel business.
I see. Tina, I would advise you to use a different name when you're on air, especially since you're the main source, for your own safety.
Okay, Professor.
Good. Here is the script back. I think you two have already done an excellent job. You've double-checked the facts. You have witnesses, and it's a strong emotional story. If you have any more questions, you know where to find me.
Thank you, sir. There's one last thing. We'd like to dedicate this show to Trudy.
Yes.
That's an excellent idea, I have to say. I'm really very impressed by the work she did and by the way you two took it up and finished it.
Thank you.
And remember, don't discuss it with anyone before it goes to air.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Off you go. The big day approaches.
Ginger, come here. Let me carry you. At the rate you're walking, we'll be late for Auntie Trudy's funeral. We are meeting your mommy, Mercy, there too.
Hey, Lulu. Lulu, wait for me.
Hello.
What do you want now, Msoto?
I'm just going to the funeral. I hope you don't mind if we walk together.
Well, it's a free country. But from next week on, when my daughter Joy comes to live with me, you'll have to respect the judge's restraining order.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Mercy must be devastated. She and Trudy were friends for a long time. Lulu, what's wrong? Why won't you talk to me?
What do you want me to say? Of course I mind walking with you. All right. I am grateful that you came and testified against Mukaraba and that I'm going to get my daughter back. But that doesn't make what you did right. We are finished, Msoto.
Lulu, I'm sorry.
Save it, Msoto. Just do me a favor, okay? Crawl back to whatever hole it is you came out of. Leave me and my kids alone. We are here. You can sit over there, Msoto. Linda and I will sit at the front.
And so, we are gathered here today to celebrate the life of our dear friend Trudy. Maybe some of you will ask yourselves why I call it a celebration. You might think, our dearest Trudy is dead? And this man is talking about celebrating? We are celebrating Trudy because she loved life and made the very most of the short life that she had. And now we should not be sad, for she has gone to a better place. I will ask Trudy's friend to say a few words about her before we proceed to lay our dear one in her final resting place. Mercy Msoto, please kindly step forward.
Trudy and I knew each other back in high school when I was still as green as I can. She was the first to take me under her wing, and she protected me from the bullies at our school. Trudy and I had our differences. In fact, we had a huge fight not so long ago. But I know she had a good heart. And even when we were fighting, we still loved each other. I'm just so sorry that I wasn't there to protect her in the end when her young life was so brutally cut short. But I promise you, Trudy, you will be remembered. I'll make sure of that. Rest in peace, my friend. Until we meet again.
And it's on that sad note that we end today's episode of Crossroads Generation. Don't miss the next one to find out what Tina and Mercy have been planning with their professor to honor Trudy's memory. In the meantime, check out our webpage at dw.de/LBE and see what Tina has been confiding to her personal video diary. Bye for now.
Our main stories here on Africa Link. South Sudan's President Salva Kiir has ruled out a power-sharing deal with rebel leader Riek Machar. The president of Sierra Leone has fired his deputy. And in Zimbabwe, Parliament has expelled 21 lawmakers belonging to United MDC. We welcome your comments on this program, either in an SMS to country code 49160957595510, in an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.